Morning brings dawn, and dawn a new day. But what if this day was different? What if this day you could see beyond the surface of reality to the essence of creation? Well, come along on a journey to a place where the sun doesn't rise or set, where what you choose is what you get. It's a place that's all around you, but you haven't seen it yet. This is How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo.
Hello, everyone. And welcome to another edition of How the Universe Works. I'm your host, Michael Galileo. And we'll start the evening, as we always do, with a quote from Henry Miller to remind us all that the world is not to be put in order. The world is in order. It is for us to put ourselves in unison with that order. And that's what this show is here for, to show us what the order is so that we can get in line with it much easier than when we don't have a clue to what's going on and we live in a confusing world where people think the sun goes up and down. And we all, people that listen to this show, know that that just isn't happening out there. So it's the earth that's moving. And as Sam Keen said, we have to move from the illusion of certainty to the certainty of illusion. And what we're going to try to do tonight is pierce the veil of illusion around us in the form of our, what we consider to be three-dimensional reality that we live in every day that manifests itself moment by moment, electromagnetically from what it was to what it is, and as we choose it to be. And through this, there is actually a way to formulaically approach the whole construct of the world around us. We've talked about it on the show before. We've mentioned it. But tonight's theme is the golden mean or the golden ratio, which you may or may not be familiar with. It's a concept that goes back at least 5,000 years. And as we go through this tonight, I'll probably quantify that in a little bit more accurate way. We'll probably get to the exact time. But about 5,000 years ago, there was a recognition of a proportion in nature that seemed to appear over and over again by a particular individual. And that individual was able to make some sense of that repetitive pattern and create a formula by which most of the world that man has created around us today is based on. Most of the architecture, most of the design, most of the things that we live with today that are created in our subjective world are actually created based upon this proportion. And that's a good thing, because that's the proportion that nature uses. And before we get involved with our opinions, it tends to work perfectly. And if we could see things more truthfully and our decisions and our choices a little bit better, perhaps we could help bring things a little bit closer to perfection in our world as well, just like nature does. We have the tools between a dynamic universe and the tool of time and the ability for conscious thought and subjective choice to create the world as we choose it to be. We can utilize all that to create a world more in line with nature. And actually, there is a blueprint for perfection. Nature has used it. We've tapped into it to a certain degree, but we could certainly use it in a much better way if we had a way to take this information, take this proportion, which has been applied to architecture and music and art for thousands of years, and in some way, shape, or form, apply it to the construct of reality. So that instead of just creating beautiful architecture in harmony with nature, or creating beautiful music that's in harmony with nature, or beautiful visual stimulations that are in harmony with nature because of their progression of tones and sonic information, that we would actually be able to apply it to the creation of the world around us and use that knowledge to help us create a world of higher quality. And that's actually what we can do by applying this what's called in the publication I'm going to be using as a reference tool tonight, a design tool. But rather than just designing things, we're going to talk about how this is used to design the whole world around us and how it can be used as a guide to achieve perfection. The golden mean, the golden ratio, is something that I'm sure you've heard of. Well, if you look at the back of a dollar bill and you see the pyramid, that is a representation of the golden ratio, of the golden mean. The history of this in civilization goes very far back and appears in many places, from Stonehenge to the architecture of Frank Lloyd Wright. And what we want to talk about tonight is how to apply that to reality. And there's only one way to do that. There's a trick to it that has I've never seen done before, but we do it here, and it's kind of fun. And as we get through the information about the golden ratio, we'll uncover all that information. So if you go on online, if you happen to be listening to the show and you have a computer available and you can go online, you might want to use your search engine to look up the golden ratio keywords. If you pull up the Wikipedia, it gives you a little bit of a definition here about how it's applied in math and in the arts. So there's certainly plenty of information available to you to use to back up whatever it is we're talking about here tonight. Whether you can do it while we're on, you know, online and on the air, or if you do it after the fact. But what I want to do is I want to reference this book, because I got introduced to this Harmony by Design and the Golden Mean a bunch of years back when I attended a seminar type workshop course, whatever you want to call it, at the New York School for Interior Design in Manhattan, in New York City. And the course was specifically about the golden ratio. At the time, I was doing a lot of design work, and the listing for the course caught my interest because it explained that basically this was a spiritual, natural basis for design that had been used over the years, and they were going to be examining it. And I took the course years ago, and of course, I began to apply it immediately to my design work. And it took years of my own personal evolution before I saw the application of this system, of this formula, to the creation of reality. And the only way that that could have happened was after the determination of the size of a second was made. Because as you'll see when we talk about this, the golden mean and the golden ratio is a proportion that's based on the evolution of a value. And there has to be something to quantify as a value before you can relate a proportion to it. And without a real quantifiable structure or dynamic to kind of bracket the ongoing now, the continuous now of our reality, there really would be no way to apply any type of a formulaic process to it, because you would have to have first a value quantified, and that value would have to be relative to everything that it was supposedly reigning over or manifesting based upon. And this happens to cover all those bases. So, again, this is work we've talked about before. Well, let's talk about Harmony by Design. It's a book that we're going to be accessing tonight, written by a woman by the name of Rachel Fletcher. And it says about Rachel Fletcher, she's an environmental and theater designer, a geometer and an educator, and she is a curator of a traveling exhibition on geometry, Infinite Measure, and the co-curator of the exhibition Harmony by Design, The Golden Mean. And she lives in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. And this book is a great little tool that I used over the years to help me with my design work. Excuse me. And I'd like to read from this a little bit to give you a little bit of a background to what we're talking about. And it starts with an introduction. In these times, when there is an instinctive feeling that society is out of order, designers have at hand a means for achieving harmony. The golden mean is a mathematical system of proportion deriving from the Pentagon that underlies organic life and natural patterns of order. When translated spatially, it enables designers to produce unity among a diversity of elements. The tools for achieving the golden mean are as simple as the compass and the rule. The ratio is found when a line is divided into two unequal parts so that the shorter part relates in length to the longer as the longer relates to the whole. It is identified by the Greek letter phi, after the Greek sculptor Phidias, and translates numerically to a ratio of 1 to 1.618, or 1 to phi. In the 13th century, the Italian mathematician Fibonacci expressed golden mean relationships in a series of simple whole numbers. The golden mean proportion appears in nature constantly, from sunflowers, apple blossoms, and daisies in the plant world, to spiral shells beneath the seas. Pine cones exhibit this spiraling formation, as do artichokes, pussy willows, and pineapple skins. The proportions of the human body conform generally to the golden mean. The tradition of rendering the human body in golden ratio dates back even before Phidias in the 5th century to Egyptian times and continues in this century with Le Corbusier's modular system. As 20th century technologies bring heretofore unseen structural formations into view, the universality of the golden mean is evident in the DNA, as well as in viruses, quasi-crystals, and Buckminster fullerenes. Aside from its role in spatial organization, the golden mean resonates throughout the temporal order of vibration and frequency. Current technology suggests that the universe pulsates in golden mean ratio in numerous ways. Pythagoras discovered in the 7th century B.C. that tuned strings sound in harmony when their lengths are related by proportion. In doing so, he linked the universe of harmonic vibrations to the world of number. Since then, musicians from Bach to Beethoven to Bartok have employed the golden ratio in their compositions. Since the golden mean is a universal system linking natural phenomenon with mathematics, music, and art, it is no wonder that artists and philosophers through time have revered the power of this principle. Some of the finest Renaissance works of art exhibit the golden mean proportion. The golden ratio became the guiding inspiration in Cubism and was used as a compositional guide by such artists as Georges Seurat, Juan Gris, and Picasso. It continues to be explored by artists today. One reason for its appearance in living forms and a case for its use in architecture is the way in which the golden ratio orchestrates complex growth in a harmonious way. The golden proportion is evident throughout the history and prehistory of building, appearing such architectural icons as Stonehenge, the Great Pyramid, the Parthenon, and Hadrian's Pantheon. In more modern times, the golden mean has graced the proportions of Gothic cathedrals, Palladian villas, and the works of 20th century architects, including Louis Sullivan, Frank Lloyd Wright, and Philip Johnson. The golden mean is the only proportion to increase by geometric progression and by simple addition simultaneously. As an alternative method to the conventional architectural module or grid, it provides a theme that can unify the entire spatial scheme from interior to exterior, from part to whole. And then it goes on to say, shown on the following pages, but I won't read that to you because we're not going to be able to look at those following pages. But I think what you're, if you've been, were able to follow that, and hopefully you were, the introduction shows us that this universal proportion has been used for centuries in art and math, music, science. People have understood this and applied it. But it hasn't been applied to reality building. And that's what we're going to do here. We're going to talk about how you can see the value increasing proportionately, moment by moment, from what it was before to what it is in the current moment, based upon the same proportion as is created by the golden ratio and the golden mean in nature. And if we do that, we can actually see and feel the level of quality in the reality around us. Now, you know, why is this important? Well, it's important because most people that are conscious and cognizant human beings in this day and age are trying to create a better world for themselves, a better life for themselves, and trying to make sense out of the chaos. And once we see that each moment is coming to us in such a way that if we apply this proportion, we can see the results, and therefore we can alter the results so that the outcome becomes more like we'd like it to, more like the perfection of a snail shell or a pine cone or the colors of the sky in the evening or the morning, that is all natural, that is all in perfect proportion. And we can create, mankind, if you want to compare mankind's creation to nature's creation so far, we're not doing so good, you know? And we do have a handle on how nature does it by the fact that we understand the golden ratio, and we've been able to apply it to our architecture so that we can make beautiful buildings. And we've been able to apply it to our music so we can make beautiful sounds. And we've been able to apply it to our art so we can make beautiful pictures. But we haven't been able yet to figure out how to apply it to our lives. And that's where it's really most important. It's all around us. We're using it everywhere else. But meanwhile, the art that we're creating is of certainly less quality than most would like it to be at this point in time. And again, it all comes down to the power being with us. We're going to be getting into, you know, this is a pretty deep concept, as of course that's where the show goes. We're not afraid of the deep concepts. We talk about them from many different angles so that we realize that we can see the depth. We can go all the way down. It's not beyond what we can see. We can understand this. And what we're talking about, if you're able to follow me, and if you know, there is more stuff on my website, GalileoRealTime.com, if you want to get some more visual stuff with this and some more verbiage to help explain it a little bit, look at it from a little bit different point of view. But really, this comes down to 1 + 1 = 2. You know, and this might be a good time for a little bit of a brain break, you know, and why don't I do a little, give us a little sorbet and digress for a moment and step back from the concept of the golden ratio and how it's used in design and how nature uses it to create patterns in growth as matter is moved around by the forces of nature to form it into particular patterns and shapes based upon its proportion. Before we go there, let me read the poem. I haven't done this in a few shows that I wrote called Every Second Comes, because this is really what it's all about. Every second comes, another moment is. Moments don't happen any old time. Moments occur one by one in a line. And each little moment, a second to you, offers a choice to choose what we do. And each little thing that we each choose to do creates our world, like 1 + 1 = 2. Each moment adds up on top of the last. In some inner circles, this is known as the past, or karma to some. It's the same kind of thing, and about the possibility that each next moment can bring. Because of the things that have happened before, the moments to come become even more. And just as a building goes up piece by piece, the adding of moments in life doesn't cease. It starts from the moment you first come to be, and goes so far out, it's too far to see. But moment by moment, each step every day, is our choices that lead us along on our way. Because the future is made up of additional seconds that add on to each other as the next moment beckons and becomes what it does by each of our choosing, and choose as we do our winning and losing. So it's all about each second becoming the next, and the quality of each second as it becomes what it is. And that's the means by which everything here is happening. And what I'm going to try to do for you folks is I'm going to try to take that math formula that has been applied for years to all of these other types of art forms, and we're gonna stand it up. We're gonna give it life, because even in those forms, it's still a flat formula. It's two dimensional. It might come out in sound. It might come out in art. It might come out visually, but it still is not a dynamic formula for any one of us to be able to access and feel like it's something we can apply to our lives. And that's really what we have to be able to do. We have to be able to look at it and see that it's not just pixels that are, or tones of color that are then, based upon their tonal value, multiplied by this formula to create the next tone in harmony with the golden ratio, or it's not just a musical note that you would take and then mathematically apply and the number for this golden ratio, the golden mean, which we'll get to, and you're not going to grasp all of this in one night, so don't even try. But the number for the golden ratio, the proportion is what we mentioned before, is 1 to 1.618. So if you take a note of music and you break it down into a tone value or a sonic value, and then take that value and multiply it by that 1.618, you'll then create the next level of sonic response that's harmoniously in line with how nature gets created. So you can apply it to color, you can apply it to sound. But now what we want to do is we want to apply it to life. But the only way we can apply it to life is if we have a quantifiable value that we can go by. And so what we've done here, what we talk about, is the fact that every second is 18 and a half miles long, because the Earth is traveling around the sun. And that's what we base our whole system of time on. Man's proportion here in our universe, which, as our listeners know, it's a closed system that goes from 10 to the negative 35th to 10 to the positive 26th, and we're somewhere in the middle, around 10 to the zero power. And as that universe goes edge to edge, within that universe, mankind has created a system of time by which we construct our reality, because we need time to coordinate our actions together. And as that's gotten more accurate, our actions have become more detailed and more finite, and it's allowed for the creation of cyberspace and things of that nature. But for us average people that are still, you know, 1 foot in analog land and just a little bit in the digital world that we're evolving into, our digital self, while we're still here, we still pretty much base our system of human time on the amount of time that it takes for the Earth to go around the sun. Even though we've increased its accuracy with the incorporation of atomic time and the monitoring of the 18th electron of in a cesium atom, it's still roughly based on the amount of time that it takes for the Earth to go around the sun, and that's 584 million miles. We travel 1.6 million miles every day, and that works out to 18 and a half miles a second, and that is the speed of life. And once you realize that if you're trying to construct a subjective reality and time is your tool, then seconds are really like bits of computer code. And if you have a 72-year life expectancy, that works out to be about 2.25 billion seconds. But the universe only gives them to you one at a time. There may be a lake of 2.25 billion seconds when you're first born, but the universe is going to deliver them to you one at a time, just like water through a hydroelectric dam. And It's only by seeing the possibilities that exist in the current moment that we can make the proper choices that cause the subsequent moments to manifest themselves as we would like them to be. So once we understand the molecular nature of reality, the fact that electromagnetically each moment is becoming the next as it must, and because of that dynamic, man has created a system of time which we then overlay on that dynamic to create our subjective world, which we've been doing for the last 2.5 million years. And it's really it all happens in choices made in every second by every entity simultaneously. It's a fractal world. We don't want to necessarily get into that at this point, but the same thing everywhere is happening for everyone and everything. So that's why if we can look at a quantified value and we can apply a formula that can show us how each moment becomes the next and we can count on it, it becomes a handy tool. The Bible says, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the math behind that and the electromagnetic science behind that. It's karma, because every moment remembers all the moments from before. And we'll actually add it up when we get back after the break. We're going to be coming up to one shortly. And after the break, we'll talk about the equation and the accumulation and how reality happens and how you can see it in every moment, just like individual snowflakes. All, you know, adding up to create the snowstorm or the beautiful scene all around you. And that's what we're working on here. If you get the opportunity, check out the website, GalileoRealTime.com. The Earth clocks are there. Thanks. We'll see you at the other side of the break, everybody.
And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife.
A wise man once said, "The world is not to be put in order. The world is in order. It is for us to put ourselves in unison with this order." Most would agree that's easier said than done. Well, getting in line with the universe is about to get a whole lot easier. Join host Michael Galileo Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and become empowered by the knowledge of how our universe works from one edge to the other. You didn't know there are edges? How about where time comes from? No? Wow. See? You do need this show. How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo, here on Contact Talk Radio.
Join Michael Galileo every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for more information, check out his website at GalileoRealTime.com. Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Buddha and all his successors talk about intellectual structures that confine us to an artificial environment and against concepts that smear over the living fact of things as themselves. So said Robert Aitken, a Zen Buddhist master. Now, with the real-time earth clock, you can pull back the veil of illusion that's helping to cloud truth in your environment. Traditional clocks unknowingly confuse our world with artificial interpretations of time, even going in the opposite direction from which time occurs. The real-time earth clock shows time as it actually happens, and in the process shows us the flow of life on planet Earth. The ultimate feng shui device. It's a totally natural way of looking at time. Want to see a bigger picture? Visit GalileoRealTime.com and click on Clocks. The real-time earth clock. It's time for a new perspective.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. Okay, Michael Galileo, we're back here at Contact Talk Radio, talking about the golden ratio and the golden mean and the Fibonacci recurrent series of whole numbers and seconds that are 18 and a half miles long. And that's the key. That's the key for us. The key for us is to find a manageable, quantifiable unit of time that we can use to see the underlying patterns that are causing things around us to become the way they do. Just as the concept of golden ratio was uncovered by an individual who saw the representation in nature. I mean, you have to understand how it was uncovered in order to understand how it applies for us and how we can use it as a tool for designing reality, as opposed to just designing a building or a flower or a song. And the way to understand that is the pattern was noticed in enough places and enough things that the similarities were uncovered, and therefore a mathematic formula was able to be applied to it. So it's a reverse engineering kind of a process. And that's also kind of what it is for us as far as people are concerned. We didn't come here and get born and were told immediately exactly how this place works in a way that works 100% of the time without any exceptions. Yes, we are certainly brought into different belief systems that tell us how to respond, and in many cases they tell us how the world is created and how things happen. But if you look out there, you'll see that there's in their manifestations or in their approach, in the way that they talk about it and the things that they say, there's a lot of difference in how the world was allegedly created, whether it be through evolution or intelligent design or creation. But imagine if you could, that what we're talking about here actually reconciles all of those into one understanding and shows us exactly how it is that each moment becomes the next, without any dogma, without any guessing, without any doubt. The confidence that comes from the understanding of that truth, that we can see that the universe works in a particular way, the same way that it causes those patterns to appear, in nature, is the same thing that causes the patterns to appear in our world. Only the only thing that's in between the results and the dynamic in our world is our thought and our opinions. And if you understand that, you'll see that it's really the information we have and the choices that we make that cause things to be what they are and less than we would like them to be. You have to be able to look at it in a very holistic way. So to go back to the formula, though, and how it applies, the Fibonacci recurrent series of whole numbers is a way of seeing this proportion. And really what that is this fellow by the name of Leonardo da Pisa, back in the 13th century, he took the concept we were talking about before the break of taking a note, let's say a whole note of music, and then applying a proportion, the golden ratio, to that note. And therefore the next sound would be harmonious and proportionate to the golden ratio by which the universe is created. And instead, Leonardo da Pisa applied this to whole numbers, and he used that progression with numbers to show a mathematic relationship of value that was neither sonic nor visual, but applicable and also derived from, you know, math over the centuries. And, you know, I have it in front of me. I'm going to try to explain this to you because you don't have the visual. Although if you did go to my Facebook page, you could see this. So feel free. I have it up. It's a scale model, one of my timepiece creations. And you may know or you may not. If you visit the website, you'll see it. But part of what I do here is I make scale model sculptures of time, various segments of time, that are all composed of individual seconds to give us a spatial representation of time, with different value. The way you look at it is that if every second is 18 and a half miles long, that works out to be just over 28 million centimeters. And what I've constructed is sculptures that are approximately 1/744,000th scale sculptures at this point, roughly 40 millimeter lucite spheres, each representing the atomic representation of a second, that when they're combined together, they create larger pieces of time. And what I have in one instance is I have a series of these spheres, each representing an 18-and-a-half-mile-long second of your life, of my life, of anything's life. And there are numbers. The proportion, the Fibonacci recurrent series of whole numbers appears on those, on that series of spheres, very much like numbers on lottery balls. But they're the Fibonacci recurrent series of whole numbers, and they start at the beginning, as all things do. And the value of the first sphere is zero, and the value of the second sphere is one. Now, that means and creates the circumstance through the application of the golden ratio. If you take 1.618 and you add it all together, what happens is each one contains the value of the one before. So it goes from 0 to 1, and then the next one is 1 again, because 0 plus 1 is 1. And then the next sphere is represented with a 2. The value of that sphere is represented with a 2, because 2 is equal to 1, which is before it, and the 1 before that. So what's happening is that the value of each one of those spheres is continually increasing by the value of the two prior spheres being added together. And that collectively creates the value that increases and becomes the golden ratio, becomes the golden mean. And this is one way of showing a value representation. And what's good about this is, because it shows numbers, because it shows values, that can be related to any type of equality. And you can see whether it's continuing to increase as well as it could, or if it's not increasing as much as it could. Because I'll continue on with the formula. It goes 0, 1, 1, 2, because 1 plus 1 equals 2. Then 2 plus 1 equals 3, so the next one is 3. Then 3 plus 2 equals 5, so that's the next value. 5 plus 3 equals 8. 8 plus 5 equals 13. 13 plus 8 equals 21. And each one of these spheres, these subsequent spheres, are represented as a total of the two before. And each one, therefore, contains the total of all of them all the way back to the beginning. It becomes like a Hansel and Gretel trail from a beginning to an end, that you can then use to go either way, because you know that that's what the proportion is. You know that it's 1.618, so you can go backwards or you can go ahead, neither one of those directions actually being relative to anything else but our viewpoint. But it doesn't matter where you go from beginning to end, that same formula follows through, and that's what happens in our lives. From the first second that we're born, each second becomes the next, and all of the information from the second before is contained in the current second, in the current moment, which, again, to quantify the now to a proportion that's relative to humankind, for our use, it works out to a second, which is 18 and a half miles long. Yes, there are smaller pieces of time than a second, of course, all the way down to Planck's length, where you're out of this universe. But here at 10 to the zero power, every second contains different possibility than the second before it, and different possibility than the second that's coming after it. And mankind has the blessing and the curse of having the ability to affect the outcome of those subsequent moments. And each moment is subsequently going to become the next, and each one is 18 and a half miles long approximately, and that does not stop, and that does not change. And the moment that you're in is 18 and a half miles long, and so will be the next one based upon the time system that mankind has created. So this golden ratio, golden mean kind of thing, which, you know, at this point I'm sure it hasn't really come together for people that are listening to this for the first time. Hopefully this will just give you a little bit of an understanding and maybe a curiosity to look a little bit deeper into this information that's been around for thousands of years. And then try to envision the evolution of each moment. I mean, you know, seriously, close your eyes, do a meditation, breathe deep, realize each moment's becoming the next, and then understand how it is that our minds and our thoughts, in amongst the electromagnetic dynamic that is causing everything to be what it is, causes things to also become as they are, based upon that golden ratio, that golden mean. Because if you follow that proportion of whole numbers, and again, this can get pretty esoteric as we start to talk about it, but the numbers in that sequence are whole numbers. Now, that means that those numbers are perfectly balanced because they evolve without anything causing them to be less than they could be. And by virtue of that, in our world, that becomes what we consider to be perfection. It's mentioned earlier on in the reading when I first started in the introduction that that science resonates throughout the temporal order of vibration and frequency. Current technology suggests that the universe pulsates in golden mean ratio. It's a B flat. That's how the golden ratio manifests itself sonically in the universe. If you can hear the universe and the dynamic created by the electromagnetic current, the cosmic microwave background, and the energy generated from the quasars and the stars that cause the constant ionization and polarization that drives the electromagnetic dynamic that causes each moment to become the next, you would hear it as a B flat. That is the universal sound, and that comes from perfection. As is the human body. Your DNA is based upon the proportion of the golden ratio, as is your entire form. Based upon one measurement of your body, one can very closely estimate all the other measurements of your body, because you are based upon that simple formula that I just represented in spheres and lottery numbers. 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89 eventually becomes human beings, among many other things. And I guess in order to understand that, you also have to understand the concept of the frequency vibration and the sonic wave, because this reality of ours, which is an electromagnetic construct, is built holographically based upon that proportion, which, as was stated in the reading earlier, is the base of the pentagonal shape, which is at the base of all matter in the physical world. It just gets constructed differently based upon frequency and base materials to become different things. But everything, everywhere, is operating and becoming exactly it is the same way. And if you can imagine a extremely intense power that causes a vibration that moves so rapidly that it appears to be standing still, very much like an automobile tire at high speed appears not to be turning, then you can begin to understand how it is that the world we are in is constructed in every moment. And that's both the natural world and the subjective world of man. And it's all happening based upon that dynamic in nature. Nature is continuing to produce based upon that dynamic. And, of course, there are mutations. Not everything in nature works out to be perfect. There are circumstances and conditions and environments that come together that cause a subsequent moment or a subsequent possibility in nature to not realize its fullest potential. That's the way of the universe. So is the same with us. But on the other hand, if we can understand that we are basically entitled to use this system and use this dynamic to be able to realize our fullest potential, well, then we have the power that the universe created to allow us to build our world that way, to create the bridge from what it is to what we'd like it to be. And that's how it occurs. Now, what the level of quality is, that becomes up to us. And if we're making good choices, then the quality and the potential continues to improve, just like the Fibonacci recurrent series of whole numbers. They continue to evolve in a harmonious way, each one of them realizing its maximum potential as a whole number, and then contributing as its half to the next whole and creating that. It's only when something interferes that causes the subsequent moment or the current moment to become less than it could be. So, this is stuff that that kind of shows us the mystical, but at the same time the orthodox. There isn't anything that's out there. There isn't a belief system out there that is not based upon this understanding. Whether it's as ye sow, so shall ye reap, or karma, or anything else, none of them would apply if each moment didn't become the next. If the universe wasn't a dynamic one, understanding the logical sequence and the logical order of those subsequent moments and our relative input into the subsequent quality of those moments is of paramount importance. And, you don't have to go to a church to understand that. But, and speaking of church, I have to tell you, I live out here on the East Coast, and way out here on the East Coast, all the way at the east end of Long Island, New York, in a very beautiful area that is surrounded by much ocean and much beautiful land. We recently experienced a hurricane or a tropical storm off our shore. And when you live on the east coast of Long Island, and it considers itself a surf mecca, people spend a lot of time in the water, a lot of people do a lot of surfing out here. And unfortunately, the conditions here on the east coast of Long Island are not always all that great. Unfortunately, most of the nice weather, the water is, we call it Lake Atlantic. There's really not much going on, and other times the waves are not very well formed, and so it can be very frustrating to be a surfer out here. But every once in a while, you get a set of circumstances that just creates incredible experiences, today for me was one of them. The storm itself had come through the end of last week. The surf began building last Thursday and Friday and got extremely serious on Saturday and Sunday. And there were deaths up and down the coast because of it, because of people making poor choices in certain moments and putting themselves in places that they, if they had better information, perhaps they wouldn't have put themselves in, but they did. And I don't really want to, at this point in my life, get involved in conditions such as that. This was bone-crushing type of surf that was phenomenally powerful for days. But today, there were what we call leftovers, and it was a beautiful day. I was out early this morning, very early in the a.m., and the light was just gorgeous, and the water temperature here now is perfect, and the leftover surf was just an incredibly beautiful ground swell of 4 to 6 foot waves coming in a beautiful environment. And that is a nature's church right there, something so incredible. And just sitting there and feeling the undulation of the waves coming by, I can't, of course, help but think about the undulation and the vibration and the frequency causing the color of the sky and the color of the water and everything around me, and just feeling one with it. And it's a beautiful thing. And this whole universe is created based upon that proportion. And we as man, if we could just latch into that a little bit and let it show us the results of each moment, and realize that it's our choices in conjunction with those evolving moments that's causing everything around us to be just the way that it is. So keep it in mind. You might want to look up at some point in time, do a little more research on this golden ratio. We'll talk about it constantly, of course, in bits and pieces as we continue the show. And again, you may not see its relativity, but then again, you may. I mean, this is the formula for the spiral, the ever-evolving spiral of the growing moments that are in every moment, getting larger with information, not necessarily larger in size, but each moment is containing more and more information that allows us to continue to look at its results and realize what it is. And fractals too. If you get an opportunity to look up some fractals, because the only way you can understand this is that everything is the center of its own universe, and everything is vibrating from the center out and experiencing that Fibonacci recurrent series of whole numbers for itself simultaneously. So, everything starts with zero, and everything is at a different part or point in its evolution, but that's exactly where it is. So, the question is, where are we? And that's what we want to be able to look at. And if we, if we think of the dynamic as being subjective, if we don't understand that that there's a constant that causes every moment to become exactly the way that it does, without question, then of course we do a lot of wishing and hoping, and we have a lot of superstitions and crossing of the fingers and all that other stuff, because we're not really understanding that the universe is works for us, and it's helping us manifest our thoughts into our reality moment by moment. And the fact that the universe gives us those subsequent seconds, of course, is, as we say, the cause for not only gravity and time, but also for hope, because it's in those subsequent seconds to come that we get the opportunity to better see the possibilities around us that exist in that moment, and make better choices, and create a better world for ourselves and for everyone else around us. So, good stuff to know, very good stuff to know. And if anybody has any questions about any of this stuff, if you'd like to get in touch with me anytime about any of this, please feel free. The website is GalileoRealTime.com. If you go there, you will see the Earth clocks. Again, the Earth clocks were a creation designed to show you time as it actually occurs. We want to strip away that the illusion that surrounds us and be able to see the truth of things. And the clocks that we've been looking at our whole life, of course, offer us no relativity to anything except a mechanical escapement that makes things go around and around for us to follow. But the Earth clock can free you from all that, give you a true stimulation in your life, and something that is very enjoyable and educational as well to look at. So if you get a chance, you might want to check out the Earth clocks. And I did mention the timepieces as well. We have sculptures there that can also be used as bouquets and gifts. We have one where you can give someone 30 seconds of peace. I had a special Woodstock edition last week for a couple of individuals, the 30 seconds of peace and love, which is always something nice to have on the shelf that you can take a look at and access anytime that you might need to. So feel free to take a look at the site. There's poetry there, there's essays there, clocks, timepieces. Lots of different ways that we can try to help you see beyond the surface and get down to the truth of things. So, again, we're coming to the close. I appreciate your listening. I look forward to seeing you folks next week. It's been great. So, I'm going to sign off and say I'll see you all next week. All right, take care.
I've been
listening to How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo. If you have a question about anything that has been discussed on this show, feel free to drop us a line at contacttalkradio.com or visit www.galileorealtime.com. The views expressed by host Michael Galileo may not be that of this station, but they are certainly correct. Warning, the power generated by the knowledge expressed on this show may transform your life, and you should definitely try it at home. Tune in next week for another edition of How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo.